Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast, Theanos. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm pleased to be joined once again by Eric Wayne. Eric, how's it going, buddy?
It's going well. I feel like I've aged 1,000 years since our last episode.
You don't look like you've aged today.
Forever. Oh, thanks. Do you think I look healthy and youthful?
I think you look trim, maybe even a little more hair growing. I mean, you got the whole package going.
Usually I just kind of floof it up a little bit. You know, I'm a man who's got a little bit of five head. You know, I got the four fingers and then I got a five head. And every once in a while, you know, like pandemic, oh, I'll just let it grow out. And I think, oh yeah, that'll be fine. It'll look good. But I ended up just like looking like Lord Business from the Lego movie, or maybe Bozo the Clown.
It's a very, very niche reference. I trust you. I trust you. I have seen a couple movies.
It's getting old sucks.
Even as movies? Yeah, even as long as they were. Saw the Top Gun movie. That was good.
Really? You stayed for the whole thing.
It was a very long movie, but you know, there was excitement. We saw the Jurassic Park movie, which admittedly I haven't seen most of the other ones, so I was a bit confused. But there's dinosaurs, which is adjacent to animals, so I was in.
Both of those movies were playing at the Getty Drive-In in Muskegon when I took my kids there to see the Minions movie. And that was my first time ever at a drive-in movie. And it was a tremendous experience. I really liked the drive-in movie.
Was it?
It was very classic.
So I have no issues with, I mean, obviously one movie is too much. Two movies is clearly too much. But it's so late. At least the ones up by.
Yeah, it is.
What time did you get out of there? 2 a.m?
Well, yeah, we left after the first movie and it was 11:30 or something like that. Yeah, I mean, it was
that's
crazy.
That's entirely too late.
Yeah.
I'm in bed at that point. Like, usually asleep most nights.
You know, my favorite part of the experience, though, was the place was an absolute dump. It was trash. They had not made any improvements to that place since the 60s. And I loved every minute of it, both of those things, because it was just nostalgia. Like, I want spiderwebs above where you're making the popcorn. I want lead-based paint flaking off into my juju bees. Like, that's what I want. I want the retro experience.
Did the guys dance across the screen? Kind of the classic concession stand vibe?
There was that. There was a playground right under the screen. So, like, your kids can go play right under the screen. You kind of half watch them and half watch the movie. It was incredible.
See, I forget. When you say a playground under the screen, my initial thoughts go to screaming kids. That's the worst thing imaginable. But if you have kids, that's probably a good thing.
That's great. Yeah. And the sound is, like, right in your car or right by you. So, yeah, let them go.
They just hand you the aux cord?
Pretty much.
So, yeah, it has been a minute since we've done this, as the kids would say. I counted up. I've been in 12 states since the last time we've recorded.
Wow.
That is almost a quarter of the country. Largely, they were the Oklahomas and the Kansases of the world. So, you know, but.
So you're not exactly living a secret agent lifestyle. You're not Bond.
I guess it depends on the specific mission. I'm sure there is a parallel sequence out there where a slightly crappier Bond spends most of his time in like northern Oklahoma. But, you know, they're not all like jet setters.
Jim Bob.
We experienced the Kauffman Stadium for the first time out in Kansas City. Yeah, it was really cool. I came in with virtually no expectation other than fountains, but it was fun. Yep. It was good.
Isn't there like a giant kind of shield-shaped scoreboard big screen?
Yeah, you know, it's, I'm assuming, playing on like the Royals Knights type of deal. I don't know, but yeah.
Everybody says the stadium is pretty good, but it always turns me off that there's like an expressway right behind it.
Yeah, that there first. You can for sure see it was a Denny's, a BP, and I don't know, there was a couple other things that you could, I mean, we were in the nosebleed, so you can obviously see more, but yeah, you could see a City Life behind it, which was interesting.
It seems to take away of a little bit of the ambiance.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. They had a putt-putt course beyond center field, which we did not take part in, but that's kind of a nice fun touch.
It seems like your pace. You seem like a putt-putt guy.
I like putt-putt. Plus, you don't. There's much less walking than swing golf. Yeah.
You know, big golf is like a movie. You know, you putt-putt is more your time frame. Sick-hop. Yes.
All right. If you guys want to get in touch with us by now, you probably know I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at. No, Eric Wayne's Brain. I almost went Comeric. Yeah. Eric. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
And the show is at
Podcast. It's been a minute. Yep.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcast Giannos.
All right. Let's jump into Tigers talk. I was actually driving when the news happened, so I didn't get to see the initial euphoria on Twitter, but Al Avila's gone. Go.
Al Avila's gone. And who have you seen, or where inside you lives the place where people are like, it's too soon. He should keep going. He just got started. I have not seen any of that.
No, definitely not.
It has been 7 years, and Al Avila, by all accounts, is a good guy. Mm-hmm. Good human being, treats people well, kind, all the good things you want in a human being. However, he's had a chance. He's had a couple chances, and you only really get one rebuild, maybe a rebuild and a half, and it just did not work. There's a series of questionable decisions, and frankly, things just, maybe you got a little unlucky, but things just did not pan out.
Yeah.
What was your take?
My initial take was obviously pessimistic, thinking, oh, we still have the same owner. The next GM is going to be handicapped by the same factors, which is true, but we'll get to the pessimism later. Like you say, like, nobody ever agrees on anything, and everyone agreed that it was time. Like, yeah. You just don't see agreement like that. I don't know. He tried both kind of big-time free agents and kind of small-time free agents. I mean, none of them really worked. Upton, Zimmerman, Baez, like, his swinging for the fences track record isn't real high. His Pineda, Tyson Ross, Matt Moore, Lirion, like, that track record isn't very high. I mean, I don't feel like I need to explain to people why it hasn't really worked. But yeah, I mean, it was time. I mean, it probably could have been time a year ago. It could have been time a year and a half ago. Like, but it's here now.
You know, we had this little flock of prospects, and I think it was fair to give them a shot. Like, we had these hopes with Scooble, Mize, Manning, Torkelson, and Green. Like, okay, this is our new core. They're going to ascend, and things are going to start coming together. But they have not. Mm-mm. We're bad.
And even if they other than Scooble, all of those guys were top, 10 picks? It's hard to, like,
you shouldn't put together
a core like that if you're picking in the top 10 for 7 straight years or whatever. Like, and like you say, it hasn't come together. But even if it had, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like he's working miracles to do that. You know, we're bad. We're third from the bottom in baseball. Is it the scouting? Is it drafting? Is it preparation? Is it coaching? Is it the development of these guys? Is it, like I said, where you pick guys in the draft? It might be any or all of those things, but guess what? Those all do fall under the auspices of the general manager.
Yep.
You know, so if you're not, you know, if the general manager says, you know, well, we just didn't do well in the draft. Well, guess what? You're in charge of that guy. You're kind of running the show. And he had 7 years.
Yeah. I mean, all the reasons that you would fire a manager, it's basically like, you know, we weren't hitting, we weren't pitching, we weren't catching the breaks. When you lose games, yeah, the man, like, those are all, not everything within a game that happens is within the manager's control, but the outcome is still his responsibility. Right. And the outcomes haven't been great.
What about we are just a bit snake bitten? We're unlucky. Do you buy this? Do you buy, look at all the guys on the DL. Look at just kind of how Torkelson's doing. You know, are we just unlucky?
I think there are elements to that, but there are so many more elements that go to lack of creativity, just lack of modernity in so many of our ways. Like, yep. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I think we are a hair bit on the unlucky side, but I don't know if that's 3-4% of our issues. Like, we still have 97 other percent. Yep. What do you think? Yep.
No, I think we are a little bit unlucky, but you know, you create your own luck with, and a good GM is developing depth. We're developing a style of ball and a style of preparation where you can overcome some of this. You're developing a training staff that's really sophisticated at getting guys ready. You do your work ahead of time to know which guys are injury prone and which guys aren't. Those things all contribute to what on the facade, like luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Definitely. Do you want to speculate on who they're going to bring in? I don't have any names. So if you want to wade into those waters.
I don't like, I don't spend my days studying front office staffs and who's good and who might be available. I just know the cliche things. I was looking at, you know, we have Hinch, so maybe somebody floats Jeff Lugnow.
Yeah,
Lugnow, how do you say?
One of those for sure. Yeah.
Why? I think he burned some bridges. He sued the Astros for like $22 million.
That feels like more of an Astros problem than an us problem, though.
Yeah, but like, what owner is going to want to hire a GM who's making a habit out of suing their club?
In our
and as
owner.
The black guy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, maybe I don't know.
So this is my general philosophy on this. I want it to be somebody that I've never heard of, but is brilliant.
Yes.
There are a million people like that in organizations. Just go hire one of them. I don't care if it's, you know, I feel like instantly everyone's like, oh, Theo, he's broken two curses. Do it again. I don't care if it's Theo. I don't care if it's somebody that I know. Just give me somebody that's very intelligent, somebody that can run PowerPoint on a laptop, if not something more recent than that. Right. Give me something like that. That's all I care about.
You know, I'm always intrigued by the guys who are kind of even tangentially related to baseball,
yeah.
Like who are good at running something else,
yeah.
And are just very sophisticated at analyzing and organizations and leading them.
100%.
I'd be pretty tempted by somebody like that.
Yeah. Definitely.
I don't need the old school baseball man.
Mm-mm.
Give me
leadership
somebody
and organization translates. Yep.
In the words of Jordan Hall, give me someone innovative or innovative, if you will.
So I led this off with my pessimism that suggests that the next GM will be hamstrung by the same constraints as the current or the recent past. How do you feel about that statement?
You know, Ilitch himself any favors at his press conference, did he?
I
mean, he basically threw his GM under the bus
for sure in a ruse that I think we all saw through. Like it didn't strike me as particularly genuine.
Right. I think the Detroit Tigers owners and organization aren't looking to bump along at the bottom of baseball. I don't think they want that. I don't think they want to slash payroll and stuff. I also don't think they want to be one of the big five or six clubs, right? I'd be stunned if they are going to jump in and say, hey, we're going to do what the Padres, the Dodgers, the Yankees do, and we're really going to just throw our forge. But I think they're looking to be a more savvy mid-tier club.
Yeah, and a mid-tier club that can occasionally catch fire and make the playoffs. Like, I certainly don't think that's below our station. Obviously, we were spoiled for a long time living large, so to speak. That middle ground sounds great.
This is still the AL Central. There's no reason we can't do what the Twins and the Indians are doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? 100%. I mean, we're not trying to dominate the AL East here, right? We're trying to compete for the Central, and that is not too lofty of a goal. But there will be some constraints. I don't think this is that attractive of a job.
I
know it's baseball. There's only so many jobs, but this isn't an elite job. There's a lot of work to do. We're at the bottom, and there's just not that many bullets at hand to fight this battle.
And right or wrong, there is a pretty strong perception out there that the owner doesn't want to spend. You know what I mean? Like that seems to just be the common thought.
Yeah. So
you're not exactly going to get the cream of the crop when that's the base thought.
Chris is not Mike. Chris is not Mike. So somebody texted me today and they said, and I'll tell you, it was Chris Hyatt. Chris Hyatt texted me today.
I prefer the mystery, but this is fine too.
We'll see. I guess now I'll know if he actually ever listens to this. He texted me. He's like, what was the highlight of the Al Avila GM regime? And
that's a good
question. Makes a case for this, and I'm paraphrasing, not signing Chris Davis when Illich Sr. wanted to.
Yeah.
And instead signing Upton.
Yeah.
That might have been the best deal.
Yeah,
this is the best thing Avila did for the club outside of giving us Alex Avila.
Yeah, my first thought was drafting Riley, and the other thing was the like two-ish days after we signed Upton. It was one of those things that you kind of knew probably wasn't going to work out, but if it did, it was going to be awesome. Yep. And those I vividly remember. We're down in Florida. Vividly remember really enjoying those two or three days, kind of. Yeah.
Yep. But it's hard to be excited about or nostalgic about the Al Avila years because it was a 7-year downward slide, pretty much.
Yeah. So I'll pose to you the same question that you posed to me when we were texting earlier. Do you think that we're back to square one on the rebuild?
Close. We're not at square one, but we need to recalibrate our expectations, don't we? I think we had this feeling that we're going to get these draft picks. It's going to be the core of a young, good quality, talented team. In a couple of years, we'll be able to turn this thing around and it's going to be easy. Look at all the talent we have. We need to set that aside. We are not at square one, but we might be at square one and a half. I mean, the next GM has a ton of work to do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he left him some decent building blocks, decent if unproven, and maybe even giving us some reason for concern building blocks.
Right.
A pitching staff that's been absolutely ravaged and will be out into some of it'll be out midway through next year. Like, yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Well, let's just do a quick roster check about who are the real resources the next GM has. Where are we starting from? I think Riley Green is going to be a player. I think he's really good outfielder.
Riley is clear number one.
I think he is somebody you can pencil in next year and rely on fairly steadily. What about Spencer Torkelson?
I'm still in, but I'm wavering a little bit. The Toledo numbers haven't been very good. I don't know. There has been enough flashes for me. There's been enough times when he's looked like a big league ball player that even though the results haven't been there this year, I'm still in.
I mean, the swing mechanics are there. He's shown flashes up through the minors, but this year has been a grind. And I don't know if it's just expectations or going right to it. But it does make you question, like, is this the guy who can carry some freight for you? And that's not a given. I mean, we had everybody had projected him for years to come. And this does give you a little bit of pause. I mean, there are other elite prospects who are flourishing. I mean, it's not,
but as we've heard many times, development is not linear. I don't know. And this could just be the dumb optimism in me, but there so many things have gone wrong this year and stuff like that snowballs. I don't know. I feel like I'm willing to give him 1 year of a pass, you know, blame it on the same luck that has, you know, ravaged our pitching staff, all that kind of stuff. But like I said, that could just be optimism.
Speaking of pitching staff, our other 1-1 pick, Casey Mize, I think it's pretty clear when he has pitched, his stuff is, you know, number two starter level. I mean, yeah, I don't definitely. Think a question about his ability, but he's had Tommy John surgery. That's removing a lot of certainty about him. You have Matt Manning, who's been on the IL for a while.
Yeah.
And you have concerns about him. Up and down flashes of brilliance, but some inconsistency as well. And now you have Scooble, who's had 10
flexor tendon surgery.
I don't know what Sounds that all bad. Means, but it's not terrific. And Scooble's had the most kind of work in the minors, work his way up. I mean, you used to put him in this trinity of these guys who are really going to be studs for you forever. And, you know, that's called a new question. So, you know, all these kind
the
of
next
givens.
Guy on that list that I would do is Meadows. And who the heck knows what's going on there? Like,
yep.
The list just keeps going. And I don't blame Al for that.
No.
Like, it's been freaky stuff. Don't get me wrong. Right. But, I mean, those are who I would list as probably the six, six building blocks. And one of them I am comfortable writing in pen. One. That's it.
Our best players right now are not somebody that are really you're going to build around into the future. I mean, is Harold Castro a guy who's going to carry you? I mean, he's been our best hitter sure this year, and everybody dogs on poor Harold, but he's our best guy. Willie Castro. I mean, is that guy going to anchor a club? I mean, these are maybe bit pieces in a good team, but we're not good. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you have a couple pieces down in the minors. You got the new young kid, Jung. What are we?
Yeah, he's super young. And then you have Job. Jackson.
Good
Job.
News for you. Did you see this? That he just got moved up to West Michigan.
I should probably go check him out.
Yeah, McCoskey on the scoop there.
So now we're talking about prospects. Did you see though that Baseball America like ranked us 20-something?
Great.
You know, trust the process, but shouldn't the process give you a better farm club? I get that we move some of our top guys up, but we have no depth. The only excitement
seems like the Dodgers and the Rays, when they move their top guys up, the other guys just slide right up and are also very good.
Right.
And they don't draft at the top of the draft like we do.
Right. You should be able to have a super good farm system when you're drafting at the top. And like you said earlier, it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to like draft 1-1 every year.
Yeah. And even that we've been on.
Yeah.
Not that I would have changed either of those picks. At the time, those were the clear consensus picks. So, I mean,
yeah, you can't.
Not gonna second guess that. But
I'm seeing some conventional wisdom about how you should not draft pitchers. Like, in the top two or three picks just because they're so susceptible to arm damage. And it's just too much of a risk. I'm starting to come around to some of that thinking.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So we spent a lot of time on this. Any final thoughts? I'm sure there probably will be in questions later.
Yeah, you know, the current state of the Tigers is we haven't even talked about them at all. We haven't talked about Kerry Carpenter. We haven't talked about, you know, what Drew Hutchinson or Alex Lang is doing. Like, it's hard to get excited about the guys that we have.
Yeah. I do want to talk. I actually had Kerry on the list. Can we talk about
him? That's a little bit exciting. Yeah.
I'm in. Sometimes guys just pop. I'm not saying that I think he's going to be insert left-handed hitter here, like amazing. He's not going to be Juan Soto, but I'm a little bit in on Kerry Carpenter. I think there's something there in a almost JD Martinez like magic. I don't know. Maybe. Like, I'm not saying he's going to become JD Martinez, but like nobody expected what we got out of him when he came up. He had been released. Yeah. Sometimes hitters just hit, and he is a hitter. I am more than a little excited.
I thought it was funny how reluctant the Tigers were to bring him up. I mean, we had nobody.
Because what we had was working so well.
We had nobody hitting. And we still, Kerry Carpenter is like mashing every night. Hey, guys, boom, hit a home run. Hey, I'm here. Hello. You know, and the Tigers, now. And then all of a sudden, here he comes. And he's like tied for third on our club with outfielder home runs. It took him like two games. I mean,
you know who he reminds me of is Bosch.
Brennan Bosch.
Kind of out of nowhere. Yeah.
Can't field.
I mean, it's kind of a lazy analogy, but like there's some similarities there. If we get a Bosch career out of him, that would be a massive win.
The way people were talking about Kerry Carpenter, I thought, oh, this guy's got to be like 27 or 28 or whatever. He's 24. Like, I guess he's not like a super young prospect, but he's not a fossil. Like,
no, I think it's the draft thing that he was drafted. What is this, 19th round? I think that kind of,
that was the big,
it group almost group. Brings in with it a certain level of pessimism.
Speaking of grinding in the minors, low draft picks.
I thought you were saying, speaking of poo poo.
Have you followed Winton Bernard?
I have.
Isn't
Gotta
that cool?
Love it for Winnie. Unbelievable. That's so cool.
He was kind of a golden boy around the Tigers farm for a while, and everybody kind of liked him. We thought, and he hit for a while. We thought, oh yeah, he might get a chance, but then it didn't really kind of pan out. And then I lost track of him. I figured he was done or bumping around, and he did bump around in Mexico or here, there, or there was independent ball. 10 years.
I don't know. There's something like, I'm not usually very sentimental or, but like there's something very cool about that. Like a guy finally getting his due after all this, like AJ Ladwig. And I feel like there was, I mean, Mantiply a couple of years ago, like,
yeah, you made all
kind of, oh, Krizan. That was the one earlier in the year. Yeah.
Yeah. Krizan. But we had our own version of this that I think totally went under the radar, and that was Luis Castillo.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Of 7 or 8 years, I think, in the minors. He came, he's 27 years old, made his debut. Nobody's paying attention. And he debuted at the Whitaker game, I think, or right around there. And I thought,
I think you're right,
nobody's paying attention to this guy. You know, his first opportunity after all these years, and you got to be a little romantic about it. It's like with Bernard, you know, they're showing these videos. He's telling his mom, he's going out there. He's crying, you know, it's a big deal. 10 years. And he finally did it. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. And realistically, there's no other sport that like provides those type of stories,
right?
Which, you know, people say, you know, who goes to minor league games? Like, I don't know. It's minor league has a very special place in my heart. You want to talk about the Lou game?
Yeah, I was there. That's the first game I've been.
You went. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I was there.
For that, or was it just coincidental?
Well, when trip out there, and we were into ourselves, let's go check it out. And it just happened to be that one. And it was a really professionally well done ceremony and everything. In retrospect, it was interesting that neither Avila nor Illich, I think, was invited to speak at all. At the, I think the energy was there to avoid the booze and that kind of thing.
I think that was a wise choice.
It was like 100 degrees. It was so hot. We got seats in the shade, though. That was very important. But it was a good ceremony. It was a good game. The most exciting part of it was it was like a sellout. It was packed. 40,000 people. The concourses were full. They even said, Hinch said, you know, this is the kind of energy you get when you're good, when things are bad. And I think it shows the commitment the fans have, maybe not to this team, but to at least the laundry, the logo, the history. People were passionate about it. Jerseys all in the, you know, of all different types, you know, Trammell, Parrish, all the classics. People were eager to cheer. They were eager to support their team in what felt like a win. Yeah. And the game was a win too, but it felt like, oh yeah, there's something special here in Detroit with the Tigers, something that we can rally around. And it was, you know, good feels.
My favorite thing is always the gifts that they give them. What do you give someone like that? But the like number one crystal, I think I tweeted this out, but like, I wonder how that factors into Lou's just day-to-day life now that he owns this number one crystal.
I will tell you, like, so they have this platform on the infield and they got the chair set up and this little runway and then flowers, like, and things of flowers. And then pictures up on easels, and it looks like a graveside service. And everybody's dressed nice. It looks like we're burying Lou Whitaker in the infield. And it's like, oh no, this is a ceremony, but it looked like a graveside service.
I mean, he'd probably be preferred to be buried at Tiger Stadium, I would imagine, over Comerica.
Yeah. But it was great. Trammell especially had some good thoughts. The video was touching. It was good and overdue, right? Tiger should have done this a long time ago. They should have done Trammell and Whitaker at the same time. I don't care about Hall of Fame stuff, but there's more juice now that he probably gets in the Hall of Fame here before too long. But an iconic double play combo, Trammell and Whitaker. I think they're so linked in my mind, and I think it was a wonderful ceremony.
Sounds good. Before we get to your power rankings, I did prepare a little bit on Javi Baez. Did you know that he leads the team in homers, RBI, stolen bases, runs, slugging, OPS, hits, doubles, and triples?
I did not know that.
We gave him a lot of crap, and admittedly, all of these are very low bars. Yeah. But yeah, he currently leads the team in all of those categories.
Yeah, it's like the largest shrimp at this point, though. But yeah, I get it.
Yes. All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Power rankings. If I've been a little off here, Jordan, if things are a little clumsy coming out of my mouth, let me tell you why. We are finishing our basement. And so we've had different contractors, subcontractors in, and they started prepping the for painting. And they've done a little bit of the priming and the painting. So a lot of fumes in the house.
So you are high as a kite right now.
You know, just give me a couple mulligans if it gets a little out of hand. So yeah, we've had all these people in and out of our house, finishing our basement, starting to look nice. But it's got me thinking, how about the top seven and bottom three subcontractors for your house that you know that you want to have or be?
All right. Wait. Okay. So this is what you want to do as a profession?
Yeah, like what would be the preferred thing to do?
Okay. All right. I'm with you. All right.
Like of these housing residential subcontractors, which one is the most attractive?
All right. I'm with you. Let's go.
All right. So starting at number seven, I have the framing guys, the frame carpenters. All right. So this is kind of fun. You get to use nail guns, right? You're putting the big framing up. You feel productive. You're throwing up walls. It gets a little sketchy because, you know, you're outside in the weather, you're standing at, you're setting trusses. It all seems like a lot of work. I don't know. So the framing subcontractor, I think, gets a good sense of satisfaction. You're really building the bones of the house, but it's only good for number seven.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of sense of satisfaction, I have at number six, the painter, right? You're making it look beautiful. You get that sense of polish, but the thing with painting is it's not all just the final step. It's like a lot of prepping and taking off hinges and caulking and sanding. Like the prep work takes four times as long as the application of the paint.
And the edging is the living.
Oh, yeah. You got to cut in there. Yep.
Although I'm assuming you use like the interns for that. So I'm assuming the paid painters are the ones that get to use the rollers and whatnot.
I feel like every subcontractor needs a grunt, you know, just.
For sure. Yeah. Like a 19-year-old kid on summer break.
For sure. You
know, or whatever.
Yep, make them take all the tools in, make them pack all the tools, wind up the cords, you know, that kind of stuff. Got a few grunts. So painter is number six. Number five, I have plumber. Plumber seems like a kind of a good blend of technical skill and satisfaction and problem solving. And I don't know. I thought plumber was a good thing. However, our plumbers here, when they're doing it, we had a very tiny slow leak of our shower drain. So the plumber was here, had to replace our shower drain. And, you know, the work on the existing plumbing, I don't think would appeal to me that much, if you know what I mean.
I can see why you would say that. Yeah, yeah, agreed.
You're dealing with, you know, speaking of poo-poo, you know, the loo goes to you, poo-poo down the hill.
Go down the hill.
Yeah, so that's why plumber is only number five. Number four, I have electrician. This seems like a cool trade, right? You pull the wires through the wall. You got to chart everything out.
That's the risky one, though.
You kind of got to know what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't trust myself.
Coming in at number three, I have a mason.
I might have missed number four. Let's go back to what was number four?
Number four is plumber. No, that was
okay.
Number
so
five.
We did number four. All right, move on.
Number four was electrician. Did you hear me? Talk
about
electricians?
Yeah, we did that one too.
Okay. All right. But yeah, number four was electrician. Number three is mason, like a bricklayer. I find this extremely fascinating. I like to watch Mason TikTok where there's like laying the bricks. It's so satisfying. They smear the mortar on and they place the bricks. And these guys are so good that, you know, you wiggle it into the line that they drew. It's got to be pretty satisfying to be up.
That does sound pretty. I've never seen that, but that does sound pretty satisfying to watch.
Yeah. Just the buttery, buttery mortar going on. You wiggle that brick in. I could get into that, but
in a big way,
you know, it's a little bit of heavy lifting, you know, you're dealing with bricks all day. They're rough on your skin.
Yeah, I could wear gloves. Nice. That's probably be mitigating. Yeah.
Number two is the siding guy, the siding installer. I've installed siding a couple of times in my life, and let me tell you, it is satisfying. Nothing gives you more of a smile than seeing like an entire side of a building becoming a color in the matter of an hour. You know, you're just slapping it. It gives that, the vinyl siding, get that satisfying click as you kind of shove it up. Especially, you know, the edge work and stuff would take some away from me, but you know, that satisfying click in siding a side of a building would be pretty cool. I mean, you're working on ladders and dangling precariously and could die, but I mean, the siding, it looks like cool work.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah.
You get sick of looking at the same color over and over, but still.
But siding. I'm sure you probably do different colors based on different clients.
I suppose you do.
I'd hope anyway.
Number one, you have a guess for best residential subcontractor?
Either like the interior decorator or the demo guy. Apparently, I'm just thinking of Jimmy Joe. I don't know. What? The guy that like breaks all the stuff, you know, like takes a sledgehammer.
Demolition guy. It's not like
is that a thing? I don't know.
I don't think it's a thing. Number one is trim carpenter. Trim carpenter.
Explain this one to me.
You're giving it a nice finish. You're inside. You get to be a little creative occasionally. You're installing, you know, shelves or different woodworkings, and you get that nice sense of completion when you're done. And it's not too heavy. You get to be kind of precise. Being a good trim carpenter seems like it would be pretty satisfying to me. That's not
all of that sounds like my nightmare.
All right, bottom. You ready for
to be fair, 1 through 7, it pretty much all sounds like my nightmare. But anyway, let's get to the bottom.
Not much of a blue collar guy there, Jordan.
That is an area in which I am less gifted.
Have you ever put? Can you put together IKEA furniture?
No, I let Whit do that. Obviously,
you let your boy
in the office. We let the interns put together our furniture.
Wow, that's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
I do typey typey. That's my deal.
Smart. Four worst I have for you.
Oh
yeah, we're expanding a little bit. Fourth from the worst is the insulation guys. This seems fairly unpleasant. I mean, the fiberglass is itchy, the cellulose, you're like crawling into some crawl space and trying to blow it in there. It's got the insulation doesn't see, and then to top it all off, nobody sees it. You're covering it all up.
That's true.
Insulation seems
thankless
like
work.
Seems like a rough gig. I don't want to be an insulator. Number three is roofer. You do get a bit of a sense of satisfaction, but when it's hot out, yeah, and you're always lifting, you're always bending over, it just, roofer does not seem super pleasant.
Agreed, definitely. That was going to be my guess for number one worst, so I'll have to come up with a new one.
Number two from the worst, I have concrete guy. Like the guys who do flat work. Again, I've done some concrete. It's a little satisfying, but the troweling is a lot of work, and the prep work is a lot of work, and it's just a lot of heaviness to lay the concrete.
I'll take your word for it.
Number one worst. What do you think?
The person that has to install the ceiling fans.
Wouldn't an electrician do that? Why are ceiling fans in particular bad?
I don't know. I don't have any other guesses. That seems bad. How, I wouldn't want
to. How about the drywall guys? To me, drywall seems like a pretty rough job. Like, it's heavy. You're getting it in there. You're hanging it. There's so much of it. Like, everywhere you're hanging a drywall. And you got to finish it. You're taping, you're mudding, you're sanding. It just seems like a lot of work.
Fun story. In our house, all of our closets were not done with drywall, but with pegboard. Here, you can see.
I do. This is an audio medium, but yes, sure enough, he's showing me his closets internally are pegboard. Do you ever peg your closets then? You put the pegs in?
Yeah, we got some pegs in there. It's just like for hang up stuff. Yeah.
That's great. That's good. See, the something. Guys were clever. Put the pegboard.
Oh, we didn't do that. That we inherited that.
Whoever lived there before you, so clever.
I think his name was Hal.
Hal knew what he was doing.
Hal was something.
Anyway, so
R.I.P. Hal.
If you were any of the bottom four subcontractors, I'm sorry, but that is Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
It was beautiful. It's been a while. It's been a while. All good. I don't really have anything too exciting that I've seen by the side of the road recently, but I did see a wooden baseball bat lying by the side of the road.
Wow.
I think it was yesterday, which I can honestly say I've never seen that on the side of the road before. So
was it good? Did you pick it up?
I mean, it looked solid. Like it was definitely like a, men's bat. Like it was not for kids. It was not like a mini bat. It was a, like, take to the batting cage and, you know, get your work in bat. But it was gone today, so
I'm sure somebody got back to its rightful owner. That's terrific.
So that's what I saw on the side of the road while running.
Baseball.
Should we get to the
even.
Twitter questions?
We can get to the Twitter questions.
There's a lot.
So we have a very faithful listener. Oh, crap, I'm hitting things. We have a very faithful listener whose new name, of course, I didn't write down, but who's been hounding us about asking you in particular, Mr. Hall, what are some of the things that a majority of society likes, but Jordan dislikes?
I feel like this is actually a fairly long list. All right, so we'll start with movies, obviously.
Movies.
They're too long.
Steak,
for sure. Music. Not a fan of music just in general.
Right.
I despise loud things. Not a loud thing guy.
That's a lot.
Those are kind of my
any kind of
things.
Grown-up foods you don't really like.
Yeah, largely. I don't like seafood. I don't trust seafood. Anything that came out of the sea.
Do you like tomatoes?
I do not like tomatoes.
I knew it. Like I you've never told me that, but I knew, cuz tomatoes are a grown-up food.
I don't
knew
like
you
beans.
Would like tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We finally got into it.
And no mustard.
Okay. I kind of agree with you there. Mustard is trash. Yeah. Yellow mustard is trash. The spicy mustard's all right. Okay.
Oh, and I don't like beer.
You don't like beer? That's not super unusual. I think a lot of people.
Okay.
A lot of people don't like beer.
All right.
It's not particularly sweet. It's kind of this bittery kind of thing.
Yeah. Honestly, even the smell is like, can't do it.
I took a new job and I work downtown Grand Rapids near Founders, and every morning I go in and it's just the essence of beer. So that's my.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I enjoy it. I think it smells good, okay. But not everybody does.
Yeah.
Okay. Getting a Twitter question. Mitch from Michigan asks, what Tiger is next in line to get their jersey retired? AKA, we need a reason for people to come to the ballpark in mid-August when there are 25 games out of first place. I feel like this is targeting me a little bit, but thank you, Mitch. Who's next?
It's got to be Miggy, right? Like, he'll retire before Verlander. Those are the two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, nobody else is really from that older crop is really like Gibson or... I mean, Morris, Trammell, and Whitaker are in. Is there anybody else from that crop that really gets in?
I feel like maybe Gibson kind of is a lifetime achievement award, but
yeah. I don't think so. I think they got who they're gonna get.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is fine.
Pizza Slayer Jay Slaw suggests Bobby Higginson. I don't think that's gonna happen.
No, I don't either.
Right after Juan Gonzalez. Okay. Evan at Evan Kennedy 95 asks, how is your summer? Thank you for a gentle, nice question, Evan. How is your summer?
It was perfectly fine. It was a blur, but summers tend to be.
I refuse to admit it's over, but summer is.
Technically, it's not.
Summer
right?
is good. We did the UP thing. That we went to Quaminon Falls.
Did you do
which
the bear
I
ranch?
Enjoyed. What's that? No, we skipped
the
bear
ranch.
No,
gosh,
we skipped
dang
the
it.
Ranch.
You skip the Bear Ranch every year, and I ask you every year.
I went 1 year. 1 year I went. It's just stupid bears and a fence. Not that cool.
Excuse you. Bears are awesome.
There must be some political upheaval in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, because you drive along and there's like these yard signs that says "We love the Oswalds," and there's, it's like some kind of campaign. There must be some pro and anti bear keeping sentiment.
I can see that. Yeah,
I know the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was on them for a while. Part of it, you used to be able to like cuddle with the bear, like you wrestle with the cubs.
Yeah, that's not great.
And now I guess you can just get your picture taken with a cub. But I think after the whole Tiger King thing, like people may have a little bit more skeptical energy around some of this stuff.
Yeah, I would think so too.
That was a tangent. Okay. Let's see. Anthony Troya asks, will you guys bail me out of jail if I punch Illich in the face?
I would suggest maybe don't punch him in the face.
Yeah.
It would be a long trip for me. Surely there's someone in your life that would be closer that could post the bail. But maybe don't punch him in the face.
Yeah. I'm not doing that. You're on your own. I'm not helping. I'm done helping people. Like, if no.
Just in general for any purpose.
No helping. You're on your own. It's America. But Snack Efron says he's throwing at least $20 into the GoFundMe. Okay. Be an accomplice to assault.
Who's doing the GoFundMe admin? It becomes a whole thing.
Yeah. Peter at Pete_III asks, who hates baseball more, Chris Illich or Rob Manfred?
Oh, Manfred. Nobody hates baseball more than Manfred. I genuinely believe that.
He's kind of a dour man, isn't he?
Ah, yes. Yeah, definitely. I don't necessarily want to get started on that, but yeah, he is a miserable so-and-so.
Yeah, I'd probably agree, Manfred. Chris at least has, I don't know, at least he owns a team.
Goes to games sometimes.
Yeah. Dropkick at PNW_Tenon asks, a priest, a rabbi, and a Tigers pitcher walk into a bar. How does the pitcher injure himself before he finishing his drink? Also, when does the pain end?
Oh, the pain doesn't end. I think the pain ends at death, right?
Yeah, this is a lighthearted podcast, all. No existential dread on the podcast. We talked about this.
I said what I said.
No nihilism on the podcast. The pitcher hurts himself because he trips over his shoelaces. Ah, that's fun and not about.
I feel like potential for loose glass everywhere. You know, that could end up in an artery or something. Yeah.
The grounds crew just forgot about the shank. The ground.
Yeah.
What are you? All right. Let's see. Tim Kitching. I think it's a new questioner. Thank you. TP Kitching asks, is Chris Fetter at least partially to blame for all of the pitcher injuries this year? I know your answer is going to be.
I'm obviously going to say no, but here's the thing. Like, in terms of training regimens and all these kind of things, they're not doing anything different than any other team. They might have little slight tweaks, but there is nothing in terms of band work or sand cans or anything like that that the Tigers are doing that everyone else isn't. I have a very hard, like, there might be something in like the what would you call it, the training staff that maybe is a little bit different, but like by and large everything is going to be likely the same. Just my opinion.
It's hard to know. It'd be interesting to have somebody run a statistical analysis of it, like how many pitchers are injured or injury days, and like to see if it's statistically significant or not, or if it's just dumb luck. I probably agree with you. Like, these are all big league clubs that share a lot of routines and stuff, but we're not doing better than anybody else. If anything, I would fault selection of players. Like, maybe you're getting guys who are more susceptible to this kind of thing and where other clubs are not. Like, we're risking our chips on high velocity, big arm guys instead of, you know, pitchability guys. But I don't know. Other teams have guys that throw hard. They don't explode. I'm talking about
just that we can't have nice things. I mean, yeah, that's basically what it comes down to.
Right. We didn't answer his questions anyway. Probably not. Chris Fetter's fault. But look at what Chris Fetter has done. Our starting pitching is like third in the American League. We've done it with duct tape and Band-Aids. And look at how the bullpen's been really good. We're walking wounded. And the pitching has largely been fine.
Look at what Brian Garcia has done as a starter. Like, that on its own is a resume builder for Chris Fetter.
Given all the guys who are hurt, the guys who have pitched for us, probably the second tier kind of guys, have stepped up and been great. We just can't score any freaking runs.
Yeah.
All right. JP Skronik asks, here, actually, I'm going to go to this one. I'm learning how to read. Paul Melkin, he asks, is there any way to explain why our hitting has been so inconsistent this season? And how can the Tigers fix this?
I mean, I feel like the easy answer is that we just don't have very good hitters, right? Like, yeah. It is kind of that straightforward. You look at the lineup most nights, and most of the guys in the lineup just aren't very good. I mean, you can get better performances from some of the guys that we are expecting, like, you know, Torkelson when he comes back up, but like, and Candelario. Other than that, I don't know that I expect most of the guys in the lineup to be doing too awfully much better. It's just a terrible lineup.
But on the counterpoint of that, what about a guy like Robbie Grossman? What about Austin Meadows when he started? What about Javier Baez? What about Candelario, who's shown flashes? These are all guys who are 75% under what they could be.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of cool ball hate.
Yeah.
And there's another question coming up about this, but yeah, we certainly have underperforming hitters.
Yeah,
I don't know how you fix it.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the offensive side of the ball to kind of weigh in on like what a hitting coach does. But it seems, I don't know, maybe I feel like, was it Javi that referenced that he wanted somebody to like help him make little tweaks, which that seems like the job of a hitting coach.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know what it looks like to grind with a hitting coach in the batting cages to like work out something in your swing. Like that's not, I don't know. I feel like I probably overestimate how much of an impact Chris Fetter has. And I feel like I'm always underestimating maybe how much of an impact the hitting coach has. It doesn't seem like, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of one of those jobs that you give to what, Gene Lamont or legendary Lloyd, and just to keep him around.
But let's say we fired Scott Coolball and we replaced him with a ham sandwich. The ham sandwich is not going to get our offense worse than the worst. Like we are the worst offense in baseball. You could have a banana as the hitting coach and you wouldn't be any worse.
I mean, true. Yeah. It's hard to refute. Yeah. Let's try some new voices. I'm down.
Try some inanimate objects. That's fine.
Be cheaper.
JP Skoronik asks, what designs do you want to see on the Tigers City Connect jersey? Music notes, engine parts.
See, this is a tough one because what I want to see and what makes sense are two very different things. I feel like you say, something musical makes sense and something auto-related makes sense. But I'm not really into either of those things, so I want it to be either bridge. Like, I know the Giants did the whole bridge thing. I think that would be cool with the Ambassador Bridge. Or you could kind of take it, like, Michigan as a whole and have, like, water-themed. I don't know. I feel like that's not too creative, but
it's kind of state connect instead of city.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it just depends on how literally you want to take it. I feel like Michigan is very much a Detroit teams represent the state type of situation. But
so one of the tweets that I actually got some traction with, which was I floated this idea of, you know, those auto mechanic shirts that have the little oval with their name on it. Mm-hmm. And then like a patch sewn on that says like the Tigers logo. I think that would
That's
be
actually pretty cool.
Brilliant. I think they would sell the heck out of those, and it would be different. It would tie into the city's culture and heritage. We all know a dad or an uncle or a great uncle who wore this style shirt every day, kind of the uniform style, and it would give you a blue alternate, which I think, you know, typically they come in blue, which would be very cool. You could wear them, you know, with the white pants or the gray pants. I don't know how you do, well, how you do it exactly, but I think there's potential to have
top and bottom. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Blue and blue would be sweet, actually. Like the, cause they're already buttoned up. You just have to like make the sleeves kind of appropriate and the cut kind of appropriate. You could sell the heck out of those. I would wear one of those mechanic shirts in a heartbeat. They'd be sweet.
Definitely. Yeah. That's the idea. I of course didn't see your tweet cause I unfollowed you, but you know,
that's fine.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah, blocked. Yeah.
blocked and reported
for spam. Rob Baker at Kerba 1123 asks, does the fact that AJ Hinch still have a job hinge on the fact that Illich and company realize the injuries and the squad depth are not on him?
I don't think so. I don't think there was any result over these last 2 years that could have damaged AJ's standing.
He did so good at the end of last year. I think he built enough cred. I mean, the dude's won a World Series. He's shown flashes of the Tigers. And I will tell you, just in a subjective way, the way he handles a press conference, the way he talks about a game is right for the sport of baseball, in the sense that he's not going crazy. He's paying attention to the things that need attention to. But you can't just fire off the handle every time. There's 162 games. And just from a aesthetics, basic personality, temperament point of view, AJ Hinch seems right.
I think. And also, like, what more can he do? Like,
he has no bodies.
Like, what more do you want from the man?
You can only,
he hasn't killed any of them.
You can only scramble the lineup so many ways. And he has. And there's nothing to do. Nicholas Wazinski at N Wazinski asks, since we're probably back to rebuild mode, they need a way to get butts in the seats next season. Gotta dedicate the team and Lou. Oh, that must mean Tram. Gotta dedicate the Tram and Lou statue next year, right? Are you a buyer in a in statues? They got their numbers. How about a statue?
I'm good on a statue.
Yeah.
We've got enough statues. I want to see some. I feel like, were you the one that brought up something like interactive? I feel like that would be cool. I don't know what that looks like, but something more than just a, you know, copper, I don't know, bronze, whatever you make statues out of out there in the outfield. Like, we have enough. We're probably good.
Yeah, for a statue, I'm a little more selective. Cabrera and Verlander are probably both getting statues, though.
Yeah, definitely. But if they didn't, I probably wouldn't shed a tear.
Cabrera.
No, they need to start doing more like minor league stuff. Like, I mean, obviously they do a few bark in the parks, but I think in South Bend we do bark in the park like once a week. Let's do that. People love that.
Dress up like your favorite Pokemon night. Wear your pirate hat night. Come on, this minor league
kinda
stuff.
I mean, does that bring less people to the stands? I don't think so.
There's a reason they do it. It works.
There's a reason they do it.
It works.
I mean, I feel like winning might be the easier choice, but
that would help.
I'm not sure that's in the cards.
Yeah. Here's the question I was referencing earlier, again from Peter underscore III. How does a fan base evaluate a training staff or any coach really? Or how much of this is Teeter's fault? Or is this a problem every team is having this year? Yeah, I think he's getting at it. Like, I don't see how fans really evaluate a training staff or coaches. Like, how do you even get into that?
We're certainly not smart enough to do that. I don't know.
I feel like, I mean, we can look at the results and there's some things we can infer from that, but you really need a front row seat.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely don't think you can look at injury list and ipso facto they are good or bad. Like, it seems far more complicated than that. But
now this question is going to bring up something fun for me to talk about. Jeremy Troya asks, worst owners, the Glazers or Chris Illich? He'll hang up and listen. Let's talk about the Glazers club, shall we? Tell the people, tell the people about what's going on and what happened.
So I'm a Man United fan who are owned by the Glazers, who also own the Tampa Bay Bucks. Things have not gotten off to a great start for us. We've played two games, lost the first one 2-1 to an unfashionable team, and then lost 4-0 to a even less fashionable team in the second.
I watched
nothing is good. Yeah.
I watched like two videos of these Man United fans. There's like a lot of fans who do these like live podcasts or not like live video streams.
Yeah. Like right outside the stadium afterwards. Yeah.
And they were showing their reactions. Each goal is getting scored up to four and they're just losing their minds. And it was so fun to watch. Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, they're both, I would probably say the Glazers because without getting into the financial dealings of the Illich family too much in the whole District Detroit stuff, the Glazers, when they bought the club, put all of the debts that they used to acquire the club onto the club itself. So we are now paying their debt, which is not great. They have spent a lot of money, wasted virtually every penny of it. There is nothing good going on at Man United right now. I will still watch because I'm a sucker. But yeah, it's not a great time to be a United supporter.
The new hotshot manager, not so much.
I think he would be fine if he had players that weren't just rotten to the core. Like I suspect most, if not the entire squad is.
I'm partial to Dutch people, but still he's having a struggle. The Glazers to me are better because with the Bucks, they had championships. They have championship owners.
I mean, they won a couple with United kind of before before Fergie left. Once Fergie left, he ceased to paper over all of the cracks that they had made, which has been a bummer.
Finally, we have a question from Robin Runyon, one of my favorite Twitter people. She asks, when can I go back to having expectations? It's going to be not next year.
Yeah, give it a minute. How about that?
It might be 2024 at the soonest. No, that's that's about right. 2 years.
Yeah, probably at the soonest.
There you go. Well, that
maybe we can talk ourselves into it next spring.
Yeah, no expectations.
Maybe we can find a way.
Yeah, but yeah, it's kind of a sad state of our club. And there you have it. Yeah. Those were the Twitter questions, and they're fine. They're good. They're. It was fine.
All right.
I didn't berate the questioners. I said it was fine.
Honestly, I think this is worse. It almost sounded like you weren't mad, just disappointed. Yeah. They gave us a lot of questions and you still aren't satisfied.
Like when your kid makes a bad life choice.
So that's what the listeners did. They made bad life choices.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. There you have it. Twitter questions.
Yeah. If you want to get in touch with the show, I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain, and the show is at Podcastianos. I cannot commit going forward to any sort of regular schedule. We'll try and make episodes as much as we can, but I would love to say I'll see you guys next week, but I just don't know.
We're both energy levels. Well, not only for the Tigers, but life is a thing. So,
yeah. I mean, we'll.
I mean,
if something good happens, we'll sure will. But I mean, if we're using that as a bar, let's be honest, it's probably not going
to
happen.
Or if somebody out there wants to pay for us to do this full time, I mean, we certainly could. But otherwise, got to manage life.
And if you do actually want to pay for us, just get in touch. We'd be okay with that.
DMs are open.
All right. Thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you in the near future. Eat 'em, tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Is that what we do?
Goodbye.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.